We turn to the Gospel according to John and to chapter 11. Because I've taken as my text today things to do with Revelation that aren't part of the story of Jesus' own resurrection, that is why I've read to you extensively from Gospel this morning and the Gospel this afternoon about that very day. But we turn now to just before that time, not many days before, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. You remember that Jesus himself said, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down and I will raise it up." The Bible also speaks of the Father raising him up. So whether we think of the Godhead as the Father or the Son, it was the purpose of God to raise the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, with tremendous implications for us. And so prior to that, the Lord Jesus had given a lesson in resurrection. Lazarus, with Martha and Mary, was a great friend. And Jesus had left them and gone on a preaching mission about 2 days' distance away. And though he'd left Lazarus in good health, he had suddenly become very ill. Ill enough to worry Mary and Martha and send for Jesus. Jesus got that message. And he said to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death." In other words, they thought, well, it's not very serious. Well, it could be very serious without making you die, but that was the sort of impression they got. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, I don't think they understood it at that point, but something was to arise out of this sickness that would glorify the Father and would glorify the Son. And he stressed that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So if he loved them, he wouldn't willingly have let anything happen to them that was out of his control. But when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was, carrying on with his preaching. He stayed doing that for another 2 days. Of course, he knew what was going on. But meanwhile, Lazarus died. Martha and Mary were distraught. And their friends were so upset on their behalf that there was a constant stream of visitors to their home. Jesus then indicated to his disciples, he knowing what he was going to do, he then said to them, "We're going back to Jerusalem." And they made some comments about him being stoned before, perhaps they'd stone him again. But the reason he told them, the reason he was going, he said, "Our friend," all of them, there is a friend of all of them, "our friend Lazarus sleeps." He Elizabeth. And they said, oh, that's fine. He'll wake up fine in the morning. That was how they interpreted it. But Jesus didn't mean that. He meant that Lazarus had died. Not only that, but he said to them, I'm glad that I was not there. Now, that seems strange, and it seems strange to the disciples. I was glad that I was not there. When Lazarus' friend was sick unto death, is there anything that would be more important than going back to make him better? And then he hadn't gone back, and Lazarus in the meantime had died. Is there anything more important than being able to prevent death? And yet he says, I'm glad. For your sakes, I was not there, that you may believe. He made the journey back. Took another 2 days. Because we're told when he arrived, Lazarus had been dead and buried 4 days. Now you know what's going to happen, don't you? He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But I've often thought, what a marvellous thing the raising from the dead is. Now, as you know, I had a cardiac arrest, and I was gone for 7 minutes. And the blood supply to my brain from the heart has never been the same since. I've lost about a quarter of its power, and as you know, I can't do things that I used to do. That was 7 minutes. This is 4 days. Decomposing? And even if there had been no decomposition, which there had been, but even if there hadn't, to get the brain working right after 4 days? To start the flow of blood again? Start the breathing again, isn't a marvellous thing. And these were the wonderful things, not the end of them, just the beginning, that Jesus was going to show them the glory of God. And so, he went back, and when he got there, somehow on the way, Martha had heard that he was coming, and she rushed to meet him and got as far as the boundary, the parish boundary of the city or the town. And she had a wonderful conversation with Jesus. When you read the words, it's a mixture of belief and complaint. She says to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Sounds as if it's just a complaint. Perhaps she thought that Jesus would know a thing like that and would have got back quicker. My brother wouldn't have died if you'd been here. And then she said something very marvellous. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask, God will give it thee. What could she mean? Could she have meant anything other than that Lazarus would become alive again? Let me read it to you again. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, Whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Well, she wasn't talking about Jesus perhaps asking that they might have more food or that they might do something else. Surely this was what was on her mind, that Lazarus was dead and he would ask God and maybe God would do something. We shall see that she didn't believe in resurrection as it is. She does believe in resurrection, as we'll see. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now we're going to see that Martha was in this position of believing, but faced with a dead Lazarus. And it's to help us who believe in a risen Christ. In this case, Lazarus was still to be raised. We believe in a risen Christ. It's to help us believe and see that that resurrection will actually happen. Martha said to Jesus, I know. Jesus says, thy brother will rise again. I know. Twice she says, I know. I know that even now, whatsoever God will ask, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Wonderful news. So Martha says, I know again. But look at the limitations. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now that was clearly taught in Daniel chapter 12, that there would be a resurrection both of the just, the saved, and of the unjust, the unsaved. And Jesus speaks about the resurrection to heaven and the resurrection of damnation. But Martha knew about resurrection, and she was eagerly looking forward to Lazarus being raised at the last day, probably herself also. And this is where the teaching is immediate. Martha says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Not last day. Now, I. Resurrection is vested in Jesus Christ. He raises from the dead. And it doesn't matter how long we've been dead. He raises from the dead. So this is here not only for Martha and Mary, but for us. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I'm the one who will raise people from the dead. Doesn't have to wait till the last day. And I'm the life. Now, if he doesn't happen to wait, have to wait till the last day, can't be the only resurrection he's talking about. I am the resurrection, but Martha's still alive. And it's certainly not the last day. He's talking, of course, about raising the dead spirit. The spirit within us, the soul within us, that is dead to Christ. And you can read John, Gospel according to John, chapters 5 and 6. And you can see that the same thing is taught there. There is a resurrection from the dead, meaning our spirit. And there is a resurrection to come. There will be the resurrection of our bodies. I am the resurrection and the life. So, he that believeth in me, these are wonderful words, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now that's Lazarus and anybody else, of course. somebody who believes in Jesus and dies. Yet shall he live? It means he'll be alive, but also that he may be raised again. Now, for Lazarus, afterwards, for us. But you see, we'll never die. Our souls will never die, even if our body does. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he puts it the other way round. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. If we're alive and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never die. Our bodies will. We will die. But the soul will be separated by God from the body, and that will never know death, ever. Not at the moment of the death of our bodies, nor subsequently. It's a wonderful, wonderful teaching. These words are wonderful. If you're thinking about someone you've loved, who loves the Lord and has died, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Wonderful information. Wonderful data. But that's not what Jesus is after. Do you know Jesus is after commitment? It bothers me that there are people who go to church week after week after week who hear all the things of the gospel, who know it all, and are not committed to love and to serve and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the key thing. So many people go and grow up in church, and they could tell you all about the gospel, but they don't belong to him. They've never committed themselves to him. They've never loved him with all their heart. They've never said to the Saviour, I love you, I want to serve you. Show me the way. Forgive my sins. Cause me to repent thoroughly of the things I do wrong. I want to be holy like you. They've never said that. And this is what Jesus is after. See? He says, she's always said, I know, and I know that the Lord shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. She was a woman of faith, and she trusted in Jesus. But now that he said something new, something coming across terrifically new to her, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, God is God of the living. He's alive now. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Fact. Believest thou this? This is what he says to Martha. See? Commitment. Faith. Martha, do you believe it? Now, if Jesus had known that this wasn't true, wouldn't that be a terrible thing to say to somebody you loved? What a fraud to perpetrate on friends. But of course Jesus knew that what he said is true. Believest thou this? And without actually committing herself to the matter of resurrection, she says something that is all-encompassing, which meant that even if she hadn't quite grasped the resurrection, she believed everything that Jesus would do, and she would one day come to understand all the other things. Believest thou this? She says, yes, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. End of conversation. She goes and gets Mary. When Mary comes, she says exactly the same things. Mary went with Jesus to the grave. And Jesus wept. The Jews interpreted that rightly and said, see how he loved Lazarus. But it was more than that. The weeping was caused at the graveside by Jesus feeling the manhood in his body that was called a man, but feeling the whole weight of sin. This is what sin does to somebody. Of course, we know that people can get drunk or take drugs and it destroys them. But when you actually see death, the pain, the agony, the surprise, the suddenness, all the things that go with it. Jesus wept. His concern for humanity. And he knew that he had the only cure. Paying the price of sin in his own body for sinners who believe. So Jesus groaned as well. He groaned within himself. He knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Martha said, you can't do that. He stinks. He's been decomposing 4 days. It would be intolerable to have that smell, the smell of death, round the place. You can't do that. And Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? If we believe, we shall see the glory of God in the resurrection of our own bodies. And when they'd opened the grave, I always think this is wonderful, the Lord said to him, Lazarus, come forth. And he was all tied up with the blood clothes and he still came forth. Oh, I think that's amazing. He came forth, bound with all the things that they'd bound him up with for his death. And though he was able to come forth, Jesus still said, loose him. He can't go about like that. But he was able to walk. Amazing things going on. Loose him and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. So when we celebrate and remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that great resurrection because he had borne away the sins of many by dying. This is a prelude. This is to teach us that we shall ourselves, we could say, couldn't we? All right, Jesus was a perfect man. The fact that he rises from the dead doesn't help me. But this helps us. And the reason I wanted to read that incident, which is recorded in Matthew 27, is for much the same reason. It's very mysterious. Jesus, when he'd cried again with a loud voice, this is Matthew 27, verse 15, yielded up the ghost. So we're back on the day when Jesus died. We're back on Friday. When he cried again with a loud voice, I wonder if I was to shout, it is finished now, would that surprise you? But at the top of his voice, though Jesus was about to die, he cried, it is finished. And then Jesus yielded up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in two, so that the old way was put an end to. The earth did quake and it bothered the centurion and the soldiers. And the rocks rent. Well, you know what it's like to tear clothes? What's it like when, out of the blue, rocks split? And the earthquake shook. It's an interesting expression used in verse 54. When they saw the earthquake, now you usually feel the tremor of the earthquake, but what they saw was the results of it, the splitting of rocks. And the graves were open. Now, nobody was about the next day because it was the special day. But we then have the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. But they didn't arise that day according to the next verse. They came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Many bodies of the saints, that's those who were known to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many who died, we're not told whether it was they died in the last few years or whether they were believers who had been buried a long time. But many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, what did that signify to them? Well, whatever else it signified that the Lord was the Lord of life over death. That the Lord was the one who raised from the dead. And he could raise from the dead those who'd been there any length of time. And that first generation of disciples knew it. So you get the raising of the dead of Lazarus to help us understand that Jesus raises the dead. And this helps us, but it also helped the Christians of that time. They came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So important is resurrection that it was not only the Lord Jesus who rose, but others who rose and preached and said, look at me, I've been raised from the dead. And they all knew it was by Christ. The resurrection is a wonderful thing. It never was before Christ. It never existed before Christ. The Godhead was a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But Christ took his body back into heaven. And with him, the bodies of every other believer will be raised to be in heaven. Every other religion teaches that just souls live. But Christianity teaches, and is alone in teaching, the resurrection of the body. We shall be changed. So shall we be forever with the Lord. Jesus has done a wonderful thing. And we see from these two readings, Matthew and John, how wonderful it is for those who are here to believe that Jesus does it, did it, and now we, by looking at those same scriptures, can say, we've seen it. We know that he does it, and that will give us great, great confidence. From the beginning of our Christian faith, the older we get, and the more confident in him we shall be. May the Lord bless us and teach us these things.